May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It's probably fair to say that the world of the 21st century is being determined by the doctrine of the Holy Trinity. And the reason I say that, that the world of the 21st century is being determined by the doctrine of the Holy Trinity, and you all know that today is the day when you're required. You're required in liturgical churches, from Catholicism right across to Lutheranism, to talk about the Trinity on this particular day. The driving force in the world today is this Christian core idea of the Holy Trinity, because it birthed Islam. We all know that at least 50% of the headlines that you see anywhere, maybe 70% of the headlines on headline news or in the paper, have to do with some aspect of the conflict between the Arab world and the Western world. And what happened in the 7th century was that the Prophet Muhammad heard a form or variant of the teaching of the Trinity from a semi-heretical Arabic Christian monk. And so appalled was Muhammad by the teaching of the Holy Trinity that he repudiated it in horror, because he heard it as the teaching that there are three gods. He heard it as tritheism. And he was so appalled, given his background, which was affected by Judaism on the one hand, and a kind of instinctive, profound understanding that God is one, that he spat it out of his mouth, and the result was the Islamic religion. And the Islamic religion was birthed from a criticism of so-called Christian tritheism, which was Muhammad's reception of the Trinity. So when I say to you that the Trinity is the driving force of the 21st century, I actually am on solid ground, because it all 9/11, the whole Saudi Arabian holy sites, the whole thing boils down to a repudiation on the part of the Muslim world of the Christian teaching about one particular thing, that God is three and one at the same time. So this is really, in fact, very topical, what we're talking about here about the Trinity. Now, what is the Trinity? The Trinity is an attempt in words to try to understand how one God could have expressed himself to the world in three entities. The formal way of saying this is one God with three persons. But what had happened is, everybody knew there was a God. We came from somewhere. Whether you're religious or not, whether you're Christian or not, or whether you understand that you're really religious even though you think you're not, everybody is relating to something out there that is beyond my control. You can call it karma. You can call it the great beyond. You can call it nature. You can call it Mother Nature. You know, Jean-Paul Sartre described God, he said he was an atheist, but he described God as this appalling thing that was made out of paste, a white, shocking paste. What he was simply saying, Sartre, was something out there is blocking my ideas about how my life should go. So call it whatever you want. We call it God, they call it reality. It's God. It's something that is bigger than me. Now, Christians then saw there was this being, or there was this force outside of my control, call it nature. But then a man came, and this man said that what Sartre thinks is paste, and what the Greeks think is the horse with no name, they called it the unknown God, the horse with no name. And what you can call simply ultimate reality is personal. And it's personal because it's loving. Jesus said that the great unknown is there, but I tell you now, and I lay down my life to demonstrate this, it's love. And it's based on compassionate, graceful loving to people who are very needy and troubled and their own worst enemies. So that's two entities, right? Nature, call it the creator, and then the sun. There was a man who explained what he was really like, this nature. But the man went away. He went away. He left and went to his father's throne, to use the language. Jesus said, I will then send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will be me, unseen, but as real as can be, with you all the time. Lo, I am with you to the end of the age. And this Holy Spirit will also assist you and reassure you and comfort you and teach you what you need to know about yourself as well as what you need to know about God. Now, are you with me? The Christian facts were three entities. Nature, God the Creator, the man who had told us that he was known by the word love, and then the comforting presence of God, who I talked about last week, you know, the guy in Rwanda, the General Dallaire, who didn't see a man, but he was given words of comfort profoundly to his toes at a point of personal need. Now, the Trinity is the teaching that those three entities are one and the same. Now, this is very important for you to know, because when you are dying, the God who is there with you, unseen, is not just bitter nature, but it is the one who loves you and who has prepared a place for you and is with you concretely in the now to assist you in this enormous suffering that your body and spirit are going through. It's the same God at Montclair Hospital, UAV, and the hospice, as it was in the year 29 AD when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, as it was when he said, let light shine out of darkness and I create the world. Now let me try to earth that very big idea. We're talking about a supernal idea. I wanted to use the supernal for about 6 weeks, and I got my chance today. Supernal means cosmic, huge, large. How can I illustrate this idea with you? Well, think about yourself for a minute. Think about someone you know who gives you mixed signals. Do you know anybody who gives you mixed signals? You never know quite what side of the bed they're going to wake up on. You know that thing? Honey, I woke up on the wrong side of the bed. The guy who was just dear and sweet and tender and loving last night at 10 o'clock is a monster and a just obnoxious, difficult man at 7 o'clock in the morning. Or there's some people who are very difficult late at night, who are pussycats in the early morning. What you find is that people are full of contradictions. Do you know anybody who you never know quite what they're going to be like when you get a phone call? You know, you see, there it is. It's been identified who it is. It's your sister, or it's a friend of yours, or it's somebody that you care for, but you pick up the phone nervously, because you don't quite know who's going to be on the other end emotionally. Maybe it's going to be different than the person you thought it was. People often say to me, they say, Paul, you're so different in your writing. In your writing for the Anglican Digest, you sound like the ultimate hard-nosed person, they'll often say. And then I came to your church one day in Birmingham, and lo and behold, you were sort of nice. And I expected this incredible heresy hunter, you know, this witch finder general, you know, this heresy hunter. And you turned out to be basically, nice. It's like there's this guy named Tim Keller in New York. He's a very famous Presbyterian minister. He's a wonderful preacher. And you hear him on the tapes that I hear, and he sounds like Seinfeld. You immediately think he must be Seinfeld. Then when you see him, he looks like an absolute deer turtle. I mean, no hair. I love him. But it's different. What you see is different from and what you get. Well, think about it. Do you know anybody like this? They're different in public than they are in private. Or they're different with her than with him. Did you have a brother who was really sweet to you when you were just alone in the house? But when his friends came over, he was just horrible and downright bestial. Have you ever been married to somebody, as I said, who, you know, you never quite know what you're getting? Well, now, people who are, the actual word in theology is modalistic. That is, they operate in different modes. Kill love. People that operate in different modes kill trust, because you never can quite trust them. Let's say somebody really hurt you. Let's imagine that you were hurt in your marital life by somebody else who, by someone who actually betrayed you. Or let's say in your business life, somebody, one of your partners who seemed so great, turned out to be, you know, taking money from you. And you never knew about it until it was sort of, you got a letter from Panama. We're not talking about a medical mission. And you were betrayed. Now, can you ever trust him again? Well, of course you'd like to. You want to forgive him. You have goodwill, and you have memories. But can you ever trust someone who has been two-faced, utterly two-faced to you? Well, what the Trinity says is that God is not sending a mixed message. God is not two-faced. He's not different the start than he's going to be at the end of your life. He's the Alpha, that means God the Father who created me, and he's the Omega, the one who I'm going to meet when I die. This is very important. In other words, God is not like, he doesn't have a mask. He was really sweet for 3 years, between the year 31 and 33 AD. God was really sweet in an obscure province of the Roman Empire, and we liked him so much that we put up a statue outside, and we called it the Compassionate Christ. And God, who also created Bangladesh typhoons, and seems to be there in mudslides in Central America, that unknown horse with no name, was sweet for 3 years. But then he left, and now I'm not on solid ground anymore. I don't really know. How will I know, Whitney Houston, that he really loves me? How will I know? I'm not on solid ground with you. I mean, you know this from people, right? You know with people, so it's with God. I need to be on solid ground. The Trinity says that the same one who made me is the same one who loved me enough to die for me. And he's the same one who's with me, and especially when I really need him. It's one God in three persons. Well, that's all I wanted to say to you today. And I wanted to, you might say, invite you to consider yourself or maybe somebody you love. Wouldn't it be great if you were really the same person all the time? I don't mean boring. I don't mean paced. No. But wouldn't it be great if somebody could count on you to basically be a rock as opposed to sand? I mean, isn't that what you want? Well, God's oneness in his, can we count, his Trinity is very comparable to the need and the joy of being integrated as a person. The different parts of you are one. Let me give you one final example and then I'm finished. When I walk down the aisle on a Sunday, I believe it's really nice to greet everybody by a smile so people, at least who you see, know that you're glad that you're here. But people get very upset with me at weddings, because when I conduct weddings, I never do that. I look straight ahead at the crucifer, and I go straight down. And people say, you're a totally different person at funerals and at weddings than you are at Sunday morning. But I'm not. The reason I do it is because I don't want to upstage the bride. I mean, is there any, that's why you don't want to have bridesmaids. I mean, ring bearers who are too little, you know? Never have ring bearers or flower girls who are too little, because they'll always upstage the bride. And the bride thought it was a good idea. She thought it was a good idea until 5 o'clock on the Saturday afternoon, And then she realized she was totally upset by a delightful four-year-old. Well, I am like those statues of North American Indians that used to be in front of barbershops and cigar shops. I want to be stony at the wedding, not to upstage the bride or the dead person who's in the coffin right there. But it's the same guy. There's no difference. Well, that is a sort of a, just for me, is a way of expressing to you what I think the unity of God is. He expresses himself in the man who created me and made me good. He made me essentially sound, notwithstanding the presence of sin. But he had to help me out here. I've got a situation here. It's called paralysis. He needed to save me when I was drowning. But it was the same one. And now, when I'm up against it, he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I'm his own. He's the same God in each of these persons. And, you know, wouldn't it be great if you could find as much unity in your life as God has offered us in his unified Trinity. As we're seated, I'll say a prayer. Thank you, dear God, that you are one in your threeness, and that you've expressed yourself very differently, but very clearly, and you never change. I thank thee for being a rock rather than shifting sand. And we all ask thee to reassure us of thy enduring love in all estates and conditions of our human lives. And now, most of all, for the sake of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.